This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Not the Obama States.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, I have to assure you, listeners, that we have nothing to say about the fact that there is a TV show called Once Upon a Time where all the fairy tale characters appear as, what, 21st century human beings and everything. In that show, they have the seven dwarves, of course, one of whom is Grumpy. And I would not begin to presume to say that Chris O'Brien is meant to play Grumpy. But one of our listeners last week suggested you, Chris, were a little bit grumpy these days. What's up with that?
I'm surprised that he just noticed. Of course I'm grumpy. I've been grumpy ever since I got involved in this whole subject. I mean, it makes you itch in places you can't find a scratch. And after 25 years of that, it starts getting old.
Well, of course, if you're really flexible, you can scratch anywhere, right?
Well, it doesn't work. No Benadryl spray, no Calamine lotion seems to be able to help. So I get grumpy.
Now, last week, our interview with Kevin Randall was telling in many ways, because it showed to all of us a growing disenchantment with the evidence in the Roswell UFO crash. Now, he's not ready to say, oh, it's a test aircraft or a balloon or something, but a lot of areas where the evidence was supposedly compelling are no longer so compelling. And I really have to wonder what our guest this week, Stanton Friedman, is going to say about that.
Should be interesting.
It should be very interesting. One of the criticisms some of us have had about Stan, and we like Stan, he's been a dedicated UFO guy for so many years, and he's certainly worked hard. One of the criticisms is that he's reluctant to change his viewpoint in the face of contradictory evidence or negative evidence. So I'm going to ask him about Roswell, also about why he continues, apparently, to support the Aztec case. He wrote the preface for the latest edition of the Aztec book by Scott and Suzanne Ramsey. A lot of other things. So we're definitely going to get into a wide range of subjects. In any case, we'll get into more of those subjects when Stan joins us on the phone. He doesn't use Skype, I don't think. But, we'll work on that. In the meantime, Chris, I gather that you're making some huge progress in the San Luis Valley Camera Project. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, I'm happy to say after several years, many months, we finally have the new base station location up and running, where the only thing we have to do is get the internet, the port forwarding, get the internet part of the equation dialed in. The camera's up, the heater is operating, the AC unit in the environmental enclosure, both those units are operating properly, and it's now a matter of getting the camera online. We have two separate teams that have been working on the software problems, tweaking the software so that, we don't have false positives and we can factor out mundane activity. And it's dialed in for nighttime. It's completed, the software. But we're still getting the bugs out of the daytime aspect of the software. So, yeah, it's a big step forward, finally. Our base station is camera is up. And within the next week or so, we're looking to get it online and at least get a stock feed up for now so people can take a look. And then it's onwards and upwards. Next camera will be going up in at the Great Sand Dunes Oasis, just outside of the Great Sand Dunes National Park. And then the third camera, there's still some question of where that's going to go. I have a location in the Crestone area way up off the 2,000 feet off the valley floor. So that might end up being our third location. I do have someone that's very, very interested in helping us and has graciously offered their location, you know, as a camera spot. So, yeah, good news. Finally, you know, the weather broke up there and, you know, people's schedules all finally, you know, coincided so that we could, you know, at least get that first camera, you know, back up and running. This will be our third location for the initial base station camera, but it's full speed ahead. So, good news.
How long do you think it'll take before we can actually post a test feed? Honestly.
Like I said, within a week or so, as soon as they get the Ethernet hooked up, we're going to be sending a small computer up there with the RealShot Manager software in there so that we can go ahead and then get that up on the server.
We look forward to it, and we look forward to the possibility it's going to overtax our server. But I have a backup server, and I think after we do the initial test, we'll stick it on there. So we don't run into any particular bandwidth problem. It's also supposedly protected against distributed denial of service attacks.
Excellent.
And all that other stuff that goes on. So I hope we will be in pretty good shape. It sounds promising. Have you heard from Mark Rodiger at all?
I have not. I've left a number of messages for them, and I have not heard a peep out of them. We played email tag there after the show, and then they just kind of dropped off the map. I have not heard any scuttlebutt about what's going on with the UFO Data Project. You know, Mark D'Antonio and you know, Douglas Trumbull, of course, they have UFOTOG. We have been in touch with them. As I mentioned, I think, a few shows back, they're both interested in getting involved with our you know, Grand Canyon Confluence trip that we're going to be doing down the river in October. But in the meantime, we'd love to, you know, dovetail our efforts with the surveillance setups with them and, you know, maybe trade suggestions, that sort of thing, sort of help problem solve for each other.
Now, as we talk, I was looking up here the project updates for UFO data at ufodata.net. And there was one for 14 January 2016.
Yep.
There was another one for March 31st. And
I think that was the last one.
That was the last one.
Yeah.
So evidently they also received a grant of $5,000 from the Lucius Farish Trust, which is quite fortuitous, but supposedly, according to this, they haven't really begun their fundraising in earnest. So this is not a project that's going to happen real quickly. I'm suspecting, reading this, that they're in very early stages of planning, and you might actually not see much coming from there until next year or so, at least. That's assuming everything goes as planned.
Yeah, and I still don't know if they really have a clue of what they're doing. there is a development curve that, you know, we've been having to deal with that's very, very difficult. In order to get the proper tracking software, you really have to either have a connection with the Department of Defense or like Doug Trumbull does, or you have to have a programmer go in and actually, you know, pick apart the code and tweak it so that, you know, you only need a few pixel size object to show up instead of, you know, the size of a body or a car in a parking lot that, you know, the RealShot Manager software is set up for security purposes. And, of course, you're talking 15 pixels or more. And we need to get down there in just a few pixel range in order for the software to be really useful for our purposes. So that and factoring out false positives is really, you know, it's a lot more difficult than you would imagine, as we found out.
And I wonder also with UFO data what they're doing about the software. In any case, we've got a fascinating show here. We bring on someone who joins us every 9 months or a year with an update. He's the one, the only Stanton T. Friedman, somebody I've known, I guess, since the 1970s, when he first became really prominent. And, of course, in the late 70s, he got involved in the Roswell UFO research, which is going to form the basis of some of our early questions. Going to ask him also the radiation question about whether there should have been tests to see if the alleged spacecraft emitted radiation or harmful bacteria. More to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat. Even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Stanton Friedman returns to the Paracast with Gene and Chris. Before we get to Stan, let me tell you about the other radio show we do. It's called After the Paracast, and the way it works is simple. It's only available if you are a subscriber to the Paracast Plus, our special premium package. To learn more, go to plus.com. theparacast.com plus theparacast.com. We're offering show transcripts. We're starting up with videos. We have classic Paracast episodes coming up like any day now. I just need a little extra time to do it, and then we'll get it done. But let's get to our special guests today. Stan, welcome back to the Paracast. First,
delighted to be on again from beautiful downtown Fredericton, New Brunswick. Got to put in a plug there.
The Chamber of Commerce is sending you a spiff, right?
Well, yes. Remember, they'd even named a day after me here in Fredericton several years ago. So I got to say good things about
it. Now, is Fredericton already ready for the onslaught of American expatriates if Donald Trump's elected president?
Well, you couldn't find a nicer place to settle. That is a bit of a problem. I don't find many people supporting him here. But that's no surprise, I guess. Canadians are known to be sensible.
Okay. There's also another Fredericton, by the way, in New South Wales. So they really want to go
far. Probably
far.
Named after the same King of England. There's Fredericksburg down in Virginia, as a matter of fact.
Well, this way, if they don't want to go to Canada because it's too close, they can go to the other side of the world.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I've never seen an. I'm an old guy, and I've never seen an election campaign like this one.
And people say we shouldn't be talking about politics on the Paracast, but you talk about politics whenever you talk about UFOs and disclosure and things like that. So let's get that out of the way. I assume, Stan, you've been monitoring the quotes from Hillary Clinton.
Well, I've been paying attention to that. There's nothing really new there, except that the press has treated it almost decently. It's hard to believe, but none of the weak wink stuff that you might have expected.
What about that first comment she made several months back, right when this this whole thing kind of grew new legs, shall we say, when she mentioned Area 54 in New Mexico? Did you recall that particular?
No, I don't remember.
Yes,
Area
54 in New Mexico. Boy. She's going to look into it.
Yeah. You sure somebody wasn't misquoting her?
I don't think so.
Well, I can't tell you one way or another, but you know, the funny thing is she's always been pretty darn careful to throw in that if national security doesn't get in the way, she hasn't said we need to release everything and I'm going to do it if I get elected. She's always been cautious about that, and having been Secretary of State and obviously had a security clearance for that position, she's got good sense about such things.
Well, the issue, of course, being that she's also a lawyer. But I'm just assuming, yes, with the thing about Area 54, she misspoke. That's all.
People make mistakes. I mean, I hate to admit it, but I've made a mistake on occasion or two or three.
No, no, say it ain't so, Stan.
Not very often. I try.
Okay. With regard to Clinton, nothing new in what she said. Obviously, she has the national security dodge, just in case they feel in the need to raise that.
Remember that there is a national security thing here. Let's face it, if we've learned any technology from recovering the wreckage of crash flying saucers at Roswell or the plains of San Augustine or Aztec or any other places we might have picked up on, should we be putting that out on the table if the Russians and Chinese aren't putting out what they have learned? If we have obtained many measurements, as I'm sure we have, of the characteristics of saucers as observed from airplanes chasing them, should we put that out on the table? If we have figured, I don't think so. So I think there is a legitimate national security interest here. Let's face it, all the fancy systems that I would like to use to obtain data are owned by the government. I don't have my own radar installations or my own airplanes with fancy cameras and electromagnetic detectors, et cetera, able to put them wherever I please to chase UFOs. I don't have any of those. So it's up to the government. That's national security.
What do you think, by the way, Stan, to just move past this, what do you think, by the way, Stan, of some of these efforts to set up private networks of UFO detectors. And we know our own Chris O'Brien is setting up cameras in the San Luis Valley with the San Luis Valley Camera Project, but also Mark Roediger and Leslie Kane with UFO Data. We interviewed somebody just a few weeks ago. They're launching a satellite into low Earth orbit.
Ooh.
To check on UFOs. Do you think the technology is advanced enough for private people to do this?
Well, if you can afford it. I mean, the thing is, you know, what are you going to do? Wait until one flies over your head, or are you going to have them in orbit all the time, just ready to pull the trigger, so to speak, on the cameras and the radar and all the rest of that? It's expensive to maintain surveillance over a period of time. You know, once a week it isn't going to do it, kind of thing. You also need a communication network. And, you know, if they can do that, that's fine. I don't object to that. I think it's nice to get data. Look, in the course of my lecturing all over the place, I have on 7 different occasions heard about pilots that were sent up after UFOs from military bases and never returned. So, you know, and remember what General Bolander said. Reports of UFOs which could affect national security are made in accordance with Jane Eplin 46 or Air Force Manual 55-11 and are not part of the Blue Book system. So when I talked to him, and I don't know anybody else who has, I wish I did know of somebody else who has talked to Bolander. He's dead now, and you can't have him on your program. Sorry.
Well, we can get a Ouija board or maybe do some channeling, but I'm not serious.
Well, that would be neat, wouldn't it? He was a nice guy. I called, I located him without too much trouble. It's a lot easier to find an Air Force general named Carol Bolander than somebody named Tom Smith or John Jones or something like that, you know. And remember, he said that even if we close Project Blue Book, the public won't have a place to report UFO sightings. However, as previously noted, reports which could affect national security, which to my mind are the most important ones, because that means they're doing something significant in the larger scheme of things. Reports which could affect national security will continue to be investigated using procedures designed for that purpose.
In our next segment, Stan, I want to ask you more about Aztec and why you favor it. And the reason I'll do that is because we've had a number of discussions in the Paracast. We've had Scott Ramsey and Suzanne Ramsey. In fact, I had lunch with Scott Ramsey, I think, a year or two back. There's now a second edition of his book out for a major publisher. But we also know that our good friend Kevin Randall has never, ever been in favor of the possibility of Aztecs. I'm going to ask you about that, but first we do a break. With Gene and Chris and Stanton Friedman, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. As a business leader, I know that babies born very sick or too soon cost businesses billions of dollars each year, in addition to the emotional stress on employees and their families. That's why Famous Footwear is committed to raising funds to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in the March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
Vaping enthusiasts, head to VaporPalace.com. Choose from over 150 flavors and a selection of exclusive private stock vapor liquid you won't find anywhere else. New flavors are added every month, and our customer service is unbeatable. VaporPalace.com offers 15% off all vapor liquid on Fridays and get 10% off every order with coupon code VAPOR10 at checkout. Combine the codes on Fridays for 25% off. The ultimate destination for the vaping enthusiast, VaporPalace.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
All right, listen up, because this is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. What if I said you could make money flipping houses without any cash, credit, or manual labor? And what if I said you could do it part-time from the comfort of your home? Sound unflippin' believable? Hi, I'm Preston Neely, and I'm going to prove it by sending you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It sells online for $19.95, but I'm giving away free copies this week. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-959-9582. I used to be so broke, I had my electricity shut off 9 times. But I figured out a simple way to make money flipping houses without even breaking a sweat. Now I'm living the good life, and so should you. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. Hands down, it's the fastest, easiest way to get started in real estate. Let me prove it. Call right now to find out how to get your free book. When they're gone, they're gone. Call 1-800-959-9582. 1-800-959-9582.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We return with Stanton Friedman on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. So I want to bring up Aztec. You wrote the preface.
Yes.
For Scott's book.
Yes.
So you accept there's something to it, but...
Very much so.
Okay. Now, I read the first book. I read some of the second book. I don't really see where the differences are yet.
I don't
know, because a lot of the sources he's talking to are really second, third hand, and Kevin Randall doesn't believe a word of it.
I know Kevin doesn't. There are a lot of things. He doesn't believe that planes to San Augustine had a crash either. That's his problem. It's not mine. You remember, Kevin is primarily a writer of fiction, more than 80 books to his credit. And I respect that because I haven't written any fiction. So he's way ahead of me. But and I don't expect I'm going to catch up because I have no intention of trying to write fiction. I believe I have facts in hand before putting the computer in gear. And I don't think Kevin has done his homework about Aztec. And I must admit that Scott and Suzanne had a big advantage in the sense that Suzanne's family was living in that part of New Mexico. So it was a lot easier for them to travel and stay someplace, you know, and get people to contact them and all that sort of thing. That's a big help because it's a big effort. Remember, they also found a whole host of papers that nobody else had ever found at an archive. And so I admit there's a lot of obscurity connected with Aztec because that reporter was, how shall we put it, evilly motivated when he didn't get a shot at the story from the guys who were doing the original research.
That's Khan who wrote the rebuttal to Aztec. I was about to have a further discussion with Stan, and then he disappeared because you, what, heard a busy signal on the line?
suddenly you're not there and there's a busy signal on the line. What can I say?
They don't like us talking about Aztec. They don't like us talking about Aztec. Okay, so the guy was, what, J.P. Kahn, who wrote an article, I guess, for True Magazine or somewhere.
True Magazine, yes.
Right, where he disputed all the facts about Aztec. Now, the contention made by the Ramses is that he was, what, deprived of access to the original story, so he was jealous?
Yeah, he wanted the right to tell them the story. And they weren't, not the Ramses, but the original people weren't giving him what he wanted. So he turned around and attacked. Mad dog sort of situation. You can't take the human element out of ufology. All too often it's the major element. And you can get by with all kinds of sleazy things in ufology because, you know, there aren't any watchdogs, if you will. I can't help that. And it's a little late, and I think Scott and Suzanne's work stands on its own. And I think they have done one heck of a job, and I don't think Kevin has really read the book to be careful about it.
There's one major problem, though, at least for me, and that is we can find no reference to the case prior to Frank Scully's book.
So what does that mean?
Well, I mean, you would think something occurring like that in a small town, you would have some sort of sources that you could produce that predate the first, public knowledge or public, portrayal
absence
of the case.
Evidence
as being
is not
real.
Evidence for absence, you know? One of my favorite sayings.
Yeah. Well, with Roswell, of course, we've got tons of evidence that something actually did occur. With Aztec, it appears out of nowhere.
I can't help it. It was ignored for a long time. There was a lot of, disinformation put out. People were claimed to have been shown to be fraudsters, and, there was all that stuff in Colorado and all that stuff. I'm saying let's look at the data that's been turned up by the Ramses. And I have yet to find any reason to discount anything that Scott and Suzanne have written.
Okay, if we're looking at Aztec just very briefly, and I want to get to Roswell and other things. Looking at Aztec very briefly, what do you think are the cornerstones of this case? The thing that make it apparent to you that something strange happened there?
Well, eyewitness testimony, of course, but from a lot of different people, and the Ramses dug out a lot of people. Small towns don't take too kindly to strangers coming in from outside, and that's why I mentioned the fact that Suzanne's family is from up that way, and so they had people who knew people and could get them to talk, which is often a real problem. And I think they've done a bang-up job. I recommend anybody read the book. And that they dug out all these papers that were found in an archive, that came as quite a shock when I heard about that. There's new information that wasn't in any of the previous books. And the thing is, what's the big deal? So another saucer crashed. They were coming down in a lot of places. We know, look at Kecksburg and all that stuff. And when I was down in Brazil to attend a conference, I heard about a crash down there. Just happened to be in the area. Roger Lear did some follow-up on that, talking to people, doctors, bodies, all that sort of stuff. It's not as if I get people who are so surprised about, I just got a note today from somebody, there haven't been any sightings around here. Everywhere I've gone, lecturing, media stuff, but mostly lecturing, and that's 18 countries and 50 states and 10 provinces. When I ask for people to raise their hand if they've had a sighting, I get plenty of sightings, perhaps 10% of the audience. The problem comes when I ask how many of you reported it. 90% of the hands go down. Fear of ridicule is a major determining factor here. And so it's no surprise that people aren't aware of all that's been going on. Why would it be? How many people like to call themselves ufologists besides me?
Let's move into Roswell briefly, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because it's something we've covered so often, but I'm bringing it up because of our friend Kevin Randall again. And I saw very much in our discussions with him last week, and he has a new book coming out called Roswell in the 21st Century, that he's come
to... I haven't seen that.
It's coming out in a few months, I gather. I haven't seen it listed online yet. But he said he tried to look at the case as a cold case, which originally they were going to do with that Roswell Dream Team that fell apart.
Yeah.
And he is really sounding to me as if he's come to disbelieve a lot of what we've heard about Roswell. Not that he totally dismisses the possibility that an alien craft may have crashed there, but that a lot of the linchpins of evidence he doesn't accept quite as much as he used to. Now, obviously, that's his impression. Have you followed what he's written online about this?
Not recently, no, I have not. Tell me something.
Well,
you
he mentioned.
Me curious now.
Well, he mentioned Jesse Marcel Sr., who he said was prone to exaggerate. I think that was a huge complaint of his. So we can start with that. Also, when it comes to stories about alleged crash victims, aliens, whatever, he says he was able to poke a hole through all or most of those claims. I'm just phrasing the beginning of it, and I'd like you to listen to the episode when you get a chance, Stan, but maybe you can tell us more. We have Stanton Friedman with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add New Harvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So are there new questions about Roswell or what? Stan, are there elements about Roswell that you over the years have come to find less credible?
Oh, that's a difficult question. There's so much stuff that's been published out there. I mean, I somebody asked me, so I had to look up what I'd written about Annie Jacobson's book about Area 51, which explains Roswell in one of the craziest explanations I've ever heard, with nothing to support it.
Now, I haven't read the book. I have been meaning to because we'd like to get her on the show. What does she conclude about the case?
Well, that basically, Joe Stalin, you remember Uncle Joe, convinced Dr. Mengele, Dr. Death, to prepare a bunch of 13-year-old boys, disfigured and alien-looking, and somehow managed to get them into a craft which was flown and crashed in order to produce War of the Worlds-type panic. Now, when you think about that, you realize that, you know, War of the Worlds, there was a certain amount of panic because the report was this was in New Jersey, where the most densely populated of all the states, mind you. So you put out a report, 1938, no television, you put out like a radio news report, and aliens have attacked, and they're destroying things. It wouldn't be surprising if some people got scared, and there are a lot of people in that part of the world.
Now, he's talking about the Orson Welles, H.G. Welles broadcast on radio. It was presented as a docudrama.
So yeah.
Like it was something real. Now, I had heard, and obviously I wasn't around when that happened, and I guess you
I
were.
Was in New Jersey. I didn't know a damn thing about it.
Okay. The thing is here is that the amount of panic, they say, is exaggerated. It wasn't as bad, near as bad as it was supposed to be.
I agree. All I'm saying is Annie's suggestion that the Russians were trying to emulate that and cause panic out in the middle of nowhere. New Mexico is one of the least densely populated of all the states. There's nobody to see anything, you know? And there are a few installations, there are a few towns, but very few people and certainly no panic. And is it just a coincidence that it's near the only atomic bombing group in the entire world? I don't think so. You know, where would aliens be looking around the planet? But once they discovered large quantities of radioactivity, you can pick it up in the atmosphere, you can fly over, and whoops, there's a bunch. And when you think in retrospect, incidentally, we've exploded 2,000 nuclear warheads on this planet. Wouldn't you expect not only the Russians would be interested in Roswell and the corollary of the big Russian space scientist, I'll call him the Wernher von Braun of Russia, said that they had spies in Albuquerque there, and the two of the three nuclear weapons labs in the United States are in New Mexico, after all. But I couldn't find anything to support any Jacobson's concern. And other people have suggested they were measuring radiation levels to check. They put people in a craft. Nick Redfern suggested this, as a matter of fact. They were checking on the effects of radiation on people. Well, I worked in radiation shielding, very much concerned with the effects of radiation on people. And you would never do an experiment like that. You measure radiation levels around a known source. You don't stick people out there. People vary all over the place in how they react to radiation. The same dose can give you a huge difference in effect.
I want to ask you about the radiation in a moment, but first go back to Jesse Marcel Sr., certainly one of the key witnesses here.
Yes, I was the first to talk to him, yes.
Right, you talked to him in the late 70s, this spearheaded
yes.
the investigation. Yes. What do you think about Kevin's contention that he was prone to exaggerate a lot?
Well, I think that's overdone. I think, you know, it's like I can say, this happened the other day, talking about frequent flyer miles, and I can say I flew 1,000,000 miles on Delta. Was I flying the airplane? No. I was flown on the airplane. And so some of the supposed exaggeration has to do with flying as being in the plane as opposed to being the pilot of the plane. And there's no question Kevin's a pilot. I'm not questioning that. But I think Jesse did fly a lot of miles in airplanes in the war preceding Roswell. I don't mean after the saucer crashed.
Yeah, one of his contentions, Kevin, is the amount of hours that he claims to have spent flying. He thought that was a lot higher than it seems credible.
And, look, I accept his son's account. Jesse Marcel Jr. was a pilot. We know that. We know that he served in Afghanistan and so forth, a helicopter pilot, 225 combat hours and all that sort of stuff. But I think it's true that Jesse Marcel Sr. flew in combat planes in the war. There were a lot of guys who flew in combat planes who weren't pilots. You know, crew members, the gunners, the navigators, all these kind, the bombardiers. They're not flying the plane, although some of the bombardiers sometimes control the course of the plane. So the question of exaggeration, the big question is, was there a crash? Was Jesse involved? Did he get approached by the sheriff, et cetera? And the answer is yes. And did Colonel Blanchard say good things about Jesse? The answer is yes. He was the commander of the 509th. And, you know, who was it? I'm trying to remember who it was. Joe Nickel. When he talks about Roswell, and I've been on the other end of a conversation where somebody was interviewing us both at the same time in different places, where he neglects to mention that the 509th was the most elite military group in the world. That's a very important consideration here. These weren't a bunch of GIs with sitting around with nothing better to do than make up crazy stories. And Jesse was, there's no question that he was the intelligence officer. The yearbook says that. Not just Jesse. And he never bragged about being a pilot to me, frankly, when we talked about this. I was in his home. He's in my movie, UFOs Are Real. You know, I first heard about him because the station manager at a television station in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, told me about him out of the blue because a reporter was supposed to interview me, the third one. I'd done two interviews. The third one was nowhere to be found. And this is before everybody had a cell phone. I still don't have one. And so the station managers give me coffee, and out of the blue mentions the guy you ought to talk to is Jesse Marcel. Who's he? He handled wreckage of one of those saucers you're interested in when he was in the military. What? What do you know about him? Well, he lives over in Houma. The trouble is I didn't know where Houma was. I mean, it was in Louisiana, but, and he's a real good guy. We're ham radio buddies. Now, I found out later by checking that Jesse hadn't told the guy anything. He had seen the article in the, it's a fancy name for a newspaper in New Orleans. Back at that time, some people may be old enough to remember this, if you talked about GIs, you gave their hometowns. And so that's how he found out about it. And this is a couple of years later when I talked to this guy again, Bill Allen. I said, what did he tell you? He didn't tell me anything. He said, I can't talk about that. Now, when I talked to Jesse in 1978, first time, things were a bit different in terms of, you know, many of the key people were dead. Blanchard was dead, certainly. General Ramey was dead. But remember, I was the one who dug out then-Colonel, later-General, Thomas Jefferson Dubose. He was the one with Ramey in the famous picture of them in the office with the supposed wreckage. I figured maybe the guy's alive. I knew a bunch of other guys weren't. So let's go look for him. And I found him. Talked to him in person. Filmed him. He's in my movie Recollections of Roswell. That the fund for UFO research put together.
We have a bunch more questions to ask Stan about this, and then we'll move on to other subjects, more recent stuff about disclosure, and a lot more. We have Stanton T. Friedman joining us on the show this week. You're on with Gene and with Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Olson Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
So I just finished my AR-15 pistol kit that I got at guns80.com, and my wife says, no more guns, and then I call, and they tell me they have a Trump commemorative special. Their new improved lower, and it's a beauty. Now, professionally engraved on the side of every one of the new improved lowers is Trump, make America great again. That's right, Trump, make America great again, right on the side of your brand new improved lower. Sorry, honey, I gotta have one. guns80.com, the Trump special, ask for it. guns80.com.